Welcome to the Prickly Couch podcast, where three mujeres have real conversations. We'll share our stories and talk about wellness, familias, work, and everything in between in our experiences as Latina women.
Welcome back to another episode of the Prickly Couch. We are so excited that you're here. And this is the episode after the storm. So Karen is back with us. How are you doing, Karen?
Yes, I'm back. How am I doing? A very loaded question. I told Jeanette this earlier, but I was saying that February is like really fighting really hard for it to be the worst of my year. And it's just started. But I honestly, I'm doing fine. We lost some power in our apartment. But I'm left feeling very grateful, like after we got the power back, not just because we got the power back and stuff, but because I had many folks like reach out to me and offer their place, offer like their home for like recharge or like a shower. And that was really special. And that really warms my heart just thinking about that. So although I do not wish that on anybody, and I'm sorry if you still don't have power. I left feeling that situation very grateful, and I hope it doesn't happen again next year. So we'll see.
We can stay only tuned. Hope. We can only hope that it won't happen again.
Yeah. So who are we talking to today, Gabby?
Well, I'll say I'm doing good, too.
I'm over here being like, people reach out to me. I'm so grateful. Let's move on. Let's not talk about it anymore.
I wasn't affected by the storm directly, but we had people stay over in our house too and just be in our space because they needed that, and it felt good to have people over, being able to be helpful. But I felt good that at least this year, the year before we did have the storm and it was like a whole debacle, but this year, luckily, we weren't affected, and hopefully, we can only hope that this will continue. Yes, next year. Other than that, I'm doing well. February is like a grief month for me, so feels a little bit heavy. But I feel like I'm in the intel of that. Mm-hmm. So I'm starting to feel a little bit more energized. And just more grounded. So I feel good. So for today, we're speaking to Jeanette, who's a member of our team, an awesome therapist and an awesome human. And she's going to be talking about her approach, what affirmative spaces mean to her, what we do and what she does at the practice, and then share some tips about starting therapy and what that might look like. So she'll explain more about ¿Qué es esto de la terapia? And give us a little bit of more insight as to what you should be looking out for. All right, we'll leave you with the interview for Jeanette. Gracias, and we'll see you again next week. Welcome, everyone. So we want to introduce our team member, Jeanette, who will talk about all about doing therapy, what is it to be an affirmative therapist, a culturally responsive therapist, and all these terms that we hear thrown around a lot in the therapy world. And so we'll ask some questions and just have a conversation about what therapy is. ¿Qué es esto de la terapia? Mm-hmm. So, Jeanette, do you want to introduce yourself?
Sure. I'm Jeanette Perez Dominguez. I'm a licensed clinical social worker based out of Austin. And I work here at Prickly Pear doing individual therapy. I enjoy working a lot with the Latina community, specifically around trauma, the experiences of immigrants, children of immigrants. I was born in Monterrey, Nuevo León, Mexico, and immigrated to the U.S., specifically Texas, when I was in elementary school. So I've been here most of my life. I moved to Austin for college and kind of stayed here forever. I am total cat lady. I love my two little cats.
Yeah,
they're the little light of my life. Yeah, and outside of therapy, I think I would just categorize myself as kind of a nerd. I love reading and watching movies and, you know, problem solving and doing puzzles, which I think is one of the things that I do in therapy as well, kind of helping people connect the dots.
Thank you for sharing all of that. And I want to know, or want to ask you a little bit more about, like, your therapy approach and how you work in therapy and what you like to do and what you like to focus on with your clients. Maybe you could share a little bit about that.
Sure. So for me, my therapy approach is very collaborative. I really like to meet my clients where they're at and, you know, establish strong relationships so that we can work together as a team on whatever it is that they're struggling with. I bring in a lot of mindfulness and pausing. You know, I think a lot of times with clients, especially who experience a lot of anxiety in their lives, they may really be disconnected from their bodies, or they may have tried multiple things to think their way out of how they're feeling or out of their trauma, and it's not necessarily working. So sometimes helping people be present and really reconnect with their bodies and be able to kind of develop a feelings vocabulary to identify what they're actually feeling is something that I do a lot in my work.
It's making me think that we're talking about trauma therapy, right, and what trauma is. I know at the beginning I talked about an affirmative space. What does that mean to you?
Yeah, so for me, you know, being trauma informed is really about, first of all, just being aware of the pervasiveness of trauma, how trauma impacts our clients and as us human beings as well, because we bring our own stuff to the therapy room. And trauma doesn't necessarily look one way. We often think of trauma as one traumatic event, and trauma is just more complex than that. So to be trauma-informed is also to just recognize the impact of trauma, both at a societal level, at an individual level, and acknowledging the cultural legacies of trauma, right? Like the things that get passed down to us.
I love that because I think it goes above and beyond, as you said, one event, one moment that can be, right? Like, we can recognize that there are these events in our lives that can be trauma with a capital T, right? Like, these big events that change us to a core, how we see each other, other people, how we see oneself, how we see life. But then there's all these other events in the context of someone that can really impact how we see the world too, and that can, how would I say, to kind of add on to things that have happened, or that can make us more vulnerable to things happening. So when we're thinking about providing an affirmative space, what does that look like for you? Or let me say, an affirmative space for folks that have experienced trauma, and then we'll go into what an affirmative space means for other people.
Sure. So for me, that means just being able to recognize trauma with them and support people, and recognizing trauma, you know, at its core, trauma is our nervous system being overwhelmed. And that looks very different from each person. And so I have many clients who come in who are like, I've never experienced trauma, but I'm coping with these symptoms of trauma. Right. And sometimes being able to name that can be really powerful for people.
And I like that you say that you help your clients build that vocabulary, because like in my experiences and having conversations with people that are like in our community, like in our Latino and Latine community, that's what I hear a lot about. That, oh yeah, this, I know that this is real, I just haven't really experienced it. But then they go on and describe something that's very similar, and maybe not exactly the same, but very similar in the sense that it is some kind of trauma, and it's outside, there's a lot of context around it too. So I like that you said that. I think that's very important. So if somebody wants to work with you, somebody that might be listening to us today, or somebody that came across your profile, like what can they expect as you as a therapist, or from you as a therapist?
Yeah, so I really like to bring in warmth and empathy into our space. I think relationships are the foundation both of therapy and of healing. So I think it's very important to build strong, trusting relationships with my clients so that we can do the work. As with my personal life as well, I often bring in humor into the therapy space. I think, bringing in silliness and lightness is something that can be very helpful.
Mm-hmm. I like the idea of playfulness in the room. I like that idea. I'm thinking, as you were saying, Karen, like in our community, we don't talk about mental health as this like concept, right? Like we talk about maybe how we're feeling physically, con estamos estresados, con nervios, susto, like those kinds of things. But we don't really talk about how the day-to-day impact us. Mm-hmm. And I think part of that is because it's so normalized, mm-hmm. right? That we experience trauma, that we're expected to endure trauma mm-hmm. and just kind of muscle through. Mm-hmm. And it's almost seen like this, well, not almost, but I think it's seen as a sign of weakness if we say, this is hard. Mm-hmm. Even though I'm moving through it, this is hard, right? Mm-hmm. There's this expectation that we don't complain, that we don't say, you know, that we don't talk about what's happening, that we don't slow down. Mm-hmm. And I was talking to some clients this week and they were saying that it feels like sometimes if you talk about it, you will bring it into your life mm-hmm. or then it's real. You will actualize it. Mm-hmm. And so it feels like bad luck to talk about it, even mm-hmm. though it's already happened. Mm-hmm. So when people are trying to approach services, they might not even know what that looks like in the room, right? Practically, it's like, okay, so I'm going to go into this office to meet someone I've never met before mm-hmm. and talk about the most vulnerable parts of my life. Mm-hmm. Is there anything that you would recommend or that you would think would be helpful for that initial like approach or conversation for people to know?
Yeah, I mean, I always, very upfront encourage people to ask questions. Right? And I think that's important when starting therapy with any therapist is to be able to get an idea of what they offer you. And, a lot of people, this is their first experience of therapy. So they come mm-hmm. in and they're like, I don't know what this is supposed to look like mm-hmm. at all. And so sometimes starting small with just opening up to the relationship. And, I also have a lot of clients who are just like, I don't know what I'm feeling. If you ask me, mm-hmm. how does that feel? I'm not going to be able to answer you. Mm-hmm. So it's really slowing down sometimes. And people aren't used to that because, like you said, they're used to having to move through it, having to cope, not having time for their feelings, not feeling like they have a right to their feelings, too. Especially in our community, I often see that idea of like, my parents went through so much, their parents went through so much. How could I possibly complain because I'm struggling with my work or I'm struggling in this relationship? Like, that's right. not or significant. I feel sad. Yeah, right. Like that's not significant enough. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes just having somebody slow you down and say like, no, that is significant and this mm-hmm. is impacting you and that's okay. It can be pretty huge for people. Mm-hmm.
So what I'm hearing you say is like, you're asking people to show up, mm-hmm. to give it a chance mm-hmm. and then to say, okay, I'm just gonna try to go in and talk and have like a conversation with someone mm-hmm. about, and we don't only talk about emotions and body, we talk about like a lot of different stuff. And so mm-hmm. sometimes it can feel like a conversation, or for some people I think can feel like class sometimes when we're teaching skills. Mm-hmm. So whatever helps, what your ask is, show up mm-hmm. and come to the space. What do you think is different about the space that you're working at that allows people to show up in a way that feels good?
Yeah, I mean, I think you know, we talk about this all the time as a practice, but I think here we all have an eye on being culturally affirmative and bringing our whole selves into this too. And like my experiences as a Latina woman, as an immigrant, impacts how I do therapy, right? It impacts how I show up. And I'm not going to try to mask that, right? I'm not going to try to pretend I'm some objective blank wall for people.
Right.
And I think that in itself can be really helpful to acknowledge, like, you're a human talking to another human. And we're trying to figure this out together. Because, yeah, I also see that expectation of therapy, especially with the word counseling, right? People think that they're going to come to you and you're going to give them some advice and that's going to be it. And breaking down that hierarchical relationship too is important and new and sometimes uncomfortable.
I think that because I think a lot of times people will come in to our office and feel like they're the doctor and that we're going to ask them a bunch of invasive questions and then tell them what they need to do and then leave. And we know that that's not how we do things here, right? Like, we want to connect, we want to get to know you, we want to this be a place where we are facilitators and we're connected, but we are healing in community and we're healing within relationship, and that's important.
I've been thinking about as y'all were talking about and the community, we kind of like are used to paying attention to the physical and kind of moving on from things that happen to us, maybe to protect ourselves, maybe because at one point that was what provided us safety and kept us moving. And I think in our community, we're attuned to each other. We really spend a lot of time with each other. We can tell when we're struggling. So if somebody is listening to us, or if somebody is has somebody that they love, somebody in their familia who is going through something, and maybe they've been gently recommending therapy or like support, and they are maybe not accepting it at the moment, do you have any advice for them, like the support system of maybe another person that maybe is just having a hard time getting somebody that they love to try therapy or just isn't that? I think I'm having a hard time phrasing the question, but someone who is more of is not the person that would be coming to therapy, but somebody who cares about somebody who might want to gently provide this as an option for them.
Yeah, I mean, I think gentle is that key word, right? I think we are all in our own process. And yeah, there are times when people might not be ready for therapy. Part of being both culturally and trauma-informed is to acknowledge that experience that people have of doctors and the medical system, and especially here in the U.S. And so it's okay to honor that. Yeah, this feels scary and new. I think talking more about what therapy does and doesn't look like is helpful, right? Because we need to break down some of those notions of what it looks like. I also think a lot of times what I would tell that person looking to support that other person is to get support for themselves, to be gentle with themselves in this, because it is painful to see someone you love hurting, and you want to see them get better, you want to get resources for them, and you offer all of that, and it can be hard to tolerate if they're not ready.
And I think we're so used to problem solving, right? Like, and being like, well, in knowing that we have to muscle through and move through things, right? We're like, well, let me know the practical shit that I have to do, and then I'll just do it, and then we'll solve this, right? And like, you can't solve yourself out of trauma or emotions, right? And so sometimes especially if we have been doing work on our own, and we are more comfortable with therapy, we're like, well, if you only went to therapy and you did this and you did that, then we wouldn't have this issue. Mm-hmm. But it's just not that simple. Mm-hmm. If it was that simple for somebody to just go in and just be well, mm-hmm. we wouldn't have to get degrees to do the job.
Right.
And I think that it's important to acknowledge what the real barriers are to approaching therapy too. So mm-hmm. to tolerate that, as you were saying, Jeanette, I think it's important to have that support and be able to walk through that. The feelings of impotence, of not being able to resolve that or to take that pain away from somebody we care about.
Yeah. Yeah, and I also think, you know, as you were talking, what was brought up for me too is how we can tap into community and collective care and the resources that people already have. So if therapy isn't the right fit for them, or if there are barriers, right, financial barriers can be huge, location, access to internet, if you're mm-hmm. wanting to do telehealth, all of those things can get in the way. And so tapping into, okay, what else might be helpful for somebody who's suffering right now?
Right. And I think that's important to say, right? Like, therapy might not be the right avenue for everybody. Mm-hmm. So one of the things that we do here in the practice is connect with healers, with people that do other kinds of practices that can be helpful, right? Like a lot of body work, a lot of breath work, doulas, Reiki, yoga, all kinds of stuff that is also helpful in the healing process, and sometimes can start allowing for that process that you were talking about before, like mm-hmm. connecting with your body and understand how there is this mind-body connection and how that impacts the way that we experience things in the world around us. Mm-hmm. And maybe that is another way to get connected with services, whatever that means. Yeah. I love that we're just like playing with fidgets, being really philosophical right now. So if there was one thing that you would want people to take away from this interview, what would that be?
It would be that therapy doesn't have to be a scary process. It can be really hard to take that first step to reach out, and it can be really helpful and mm-hmm. benefit from it.
So I know we talked a little bit about affirmative care, right? Mm-hmm. And so I just want to throw to kind of add a little bit of what that is what you're saying. Therapy doesn't have to be scary. We can meet people where they're at, and we can do it in a way that is connected with that person's experience, with that person's culture, right? And it's providing that environment where people can show up in whatever stage they are in their recovery, in their healing journey, and they can show up authentically and be themselves in a safe, contained way, mm-hmm. and just be present. So it sounds like that's what you're doing.
Yeah, I hope so. I'm trying to do it.
That's what you're like moving to. Yeah, like what you're doing with your clients.
Yeah, cool.
Yes. All right. Well, thank you, Jeanette, for being here and giving us some time of your day. Jeanette's a therapist, a busy therapist. So we're very excited to have her here. And we will be back next week with other members of our team. Thank you for listening, y'all. Thank you.